Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Instant of Creation, was written by Joseph Mindell and comes to you from Chicago, Illinois.
Every day the world dies a little, and every day it is brought again into existence. So it is that every instant is an act of creation. This is a story of the dark years of our time, when the world seemed close to destruction. But even the dismal corners are filled with a golden light. For even in the years given over to the destroyer, there are hidden the instants of creation. The story begins in Poland in January of the year 1941.
This is where he got through the fence. Sergeant!
Jawohl, Herr Leutnant.
Release the dogs. He won't get far, not in Poland in the winter.
No, Herr Leutnant, but...
By what, Sergeant?
Speak up. He doesn't have to get far. Only as far as the Russian half of Poland.
Stop, I say. Corporal, fire a shot over his head. Put your hands up high. Fire. Now, approach slowly.
Comrades, I'm so happy to see you.
See if he's armed, Corporal. Stand still, don't try to run away.
Run away? I was looking for you. As soon as I saw your uniform...
What are you doing here in the forest? Why were you hiding?
I wasn't hiding. That is... I was in a camp, a German camp.
You escaped from a German concentration camp?
You don't believe me? Look, just look at this.
Keep your hands up.
I only wanted to show you the number of my arm.
Nobody escapes from a German camp unless they want him to escape.
But I'm telling you the truth, comrade. Why should I lie to you?
Corporal, take two men and bring him to headquarters. Hold him for questioning.
Oh, I'll be glad to answer questions. There are many things I can tell you about the Germans.
Without a doubt.
Excuse me, comrade. I was in a German camp for more than a year.
That's what you said before.
What I mean is, after the questioning, then what?
Corporal, take him away.
His name was Brzezinka. He was 20 years old and he was alive. Those are the significant facts. Once he had a family and lived at a certain number on a certain street in some Polish city. But now, in the time and the place in which he and his world existed, there was no importance in history and little meaning in the past. He escaped from the Germans and was caught by the Russians. They almost shot him, as so many were shot. But they didn't. They put him on a train with hundreds of others, collected in a variety of ways, and sent him across the length of Russia. Through endless miles of snow that blinded the eyes, through coal that buried itself deep in the bones. They brought Brzezinka to a place where barracks and huts were sprinkled in the snow at the edge of a forest, a concentration camp in Siberia. They brought him to his destination and filed him away.
Don't stand there. Get inside. Get in, I said. Maybe this will teach you to move on your toes. Bloom! Here's another one for you. Pozinka, he's called.
Here, Pozinka. You can have this space against the wall. What are you looking at? Maybe you'd like better accommodations?
Leave him alone, Bloom. It takes a little time.
Am I doing something to him, Zilberman? I'm trying to help him. Pozinka, did they give you a blanket? Yes. Put it down here. Don't you hear me? Maybe he's deaf.
No, he's not deaf. Give me your things, Pozinka. I'll help you. Tell me, Pozinka, what are you accused of?
They say I'm a spy.
Ah, yes. Espionage. We have quite a few in that category.
Me too. Yeah,
right here.
It's not true. Look! The number on my arm.
Of course it's not true.
You're not the only one, Pozinka.
Let him talk, Lou.
What the Germans did to my people. To me. How could I be a spy for them? How could I?
You don't have to convince us.
What he means is that we know. Take me, for example. Am I Nathan Zilberman? I'm a teacher of Torah? No. I'm Nathan Zilberman, saboteur. And that Meyer Bloom, enemy of the state. And Zacharias over there.
Don't include me in your low political crowd, Zilberman. I'm a common thief.
What's the matter, Pozinka?
You joke about it as if it wasn't happening to you.
You'll get used to it, Pozinka.
No, I won't.
Silverman is right. It's better if you can laugh about it sometimes.
I won't stay here. They can't keep me here.
No?
The German camp had barbed wire and watchtowers and dogs. This one doesn't even have a fence.
Take a look out of the window, Pozinka.
I got away from the Germans. I'll get away from the Russians, too.
Listen, it's 20 miles to the railroad tracks. There's one train a week, and the nearest city is 500 miles. Look out there, Pozinka. The snow is higher than any fence, and the cold bites deeper than any dog. You still think you'll escape?
Bloom, was it necessary to be so exact?
In this place, Zilberman, a person can't live on dreams.
If I were Pozinka, I might say, do you call that living? You better get some rest, Pozinka. Tomorrow they'll put you to work with us in the forest.
Let's stop for a minute, Bloom.
Keep working.
I can't.
This is a two-man saw, Pozinka. If you stop, I have to stop.
Only for a minute. The guard can't see us.
The devil take the guard. We don't work on his account.
What? What did you say?
We have a quota, you fool. So many trees to trim, so many logs to cut.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind. Get back to work.
In the German camp, there were guards with whips. I was afraid of them. I have to rest, Bloom. I'm not afraid of quotas.
Pozinka, they count the logs when they're loaded on the trucks. If we don't fill our quota, we don't eat. You understand? Pozinka, do you understand?
It's a new invention, isn't it? A concentration camp without fences and without whips. Just snow and cold and hunger.
How do you feel, Pozinka? Well, don't tell me. I know. You don't feel like talking, huh?
No.
Then you listen. Pozinka, the way I've been talking to you, maybe it was a little rough.
It's all right, Bloom.
But believe me, it's for your own good.
Sure.
In this place, there isn't much choice, either yes or no. Either you learn how to live, or you don't live. Do you know what I'm saying, Pozinka?
Bloom, to take guns and whips and make a man a slave, That's a terrible thing.
I know what you're going to say.
But to make a man want to slave. To make him drive himself for a watery soup with half a potato. How can you find words for such a thing?
Don't look for words. These are the conditions of life, yes or no. When you're young, you think there's always something else. Polzinka here, there's nothing, just yes or no.
When I was 11, my father took me one day. We lived in the city. He took me to a flour mill in a little village.
You weren't even listening to me.
I was listening, Bloom, I was. There was a donkey walking around and around, turning the millstone.
All right, so I'm a donkey.
No, no, that's not what I was saying.
All the same, it's better. How is it written? It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion.
I remember how every so often the miller would take a whip and hit the donkey. Not hard, just a tap.
Gentle soul.
Just hard enough, he said, to remind the donkey that it had no choice. That it went around and around on account of the whip. Because, he said, even a donkey is entitled to self-respect.
Why do you tell me such stories? What do you expect me to do?
I don't know, Bloom. I don't know.
Why don't you tell Zilberman? Zilberman and his congregation.
Why, they're praying.
It's Friday night. Zilberman is welcoming the Sabbath. Don't you hear? Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. You are not in the congregation, Bloom?
Me? You've told me, haven't you? I can only go around and around and around. Why don't you join them, Polzinka? Why don't you thank the Lord for making you a man?
I've been wondering a whole week, Bloom, who loads the trucks that take the lumber to the train?
I'm glad to hear you ask that, Polzinka.
You are?
It's a good question. A healthy question. Isn't it, Zilberman?
What's so healthy about it?
You don't see. He's waking up to reality.
Reality.
Of course. Our friend Polzinka realizes that there are hard jobs like sawing wood and there are not so hard jobs, eh, Polzinka?
Well, as a matter of fact,
I'll tell you how it is, Polzinka. It's not impossible. With a few bribes and a good deal of patience, you might be assigned to loading. But it's not easy to manage.
I was thinking, maybe it's possible to load the wood with a hollow space in the middle. Big enough
you
for a
person. You still have that crazy idea in your head.
Once you get to the railroad tracks.
That's enough! I don't want to hear any more!
All right, Bloom. I won't bother you anymore.
You're not the first one to think of these things. More clever men than you have made plans to escape.
Calm down, Bloom. Let him make his plans. They have nothing to do with you.
Stay out of this, Silverman! You think I didn't go through it at the beginning? Lying awake, scheming, planning? It can't be done. I've learned, Polzinka, it can't be done. That's all. Finished. It's settled.
Yes, I see.
You don't see, Silverman. You don't know anything about it.
It's a question of reality, isn't it? But who?
The important thing is to stay alive. In this place, you can't live if you keep fooling yourself.
That's Polzinka's problem, it seems to me. Unless Bloom, what's finished, settled for you, can become unsettled.
You're a fine pair, you and Polzinka, with your dreams. Dreams of escape and dreams of God. It's Friday night again, Silverman. Go and welcome the Sabbath.
Yes, it's time.
Go on. Sing and pretend that you're not in a prison camp. Pretend that you're free.
Polzinka, will you join us in the prayers?
Why not, Polzinka? Join the congregation.
Before I was... When I still lived at home, I didn't go to synagogue very often.
It doesn't matter. Zilberman won't mind.
No, we won't mind, Polzinka.
On Friday night, my mother would light the candles and say the blessings. And later we would all sing Shalom Aleichem.
We will sing Shalom Aleichem. Very softly, but we'll sing it.
My father works hard. We weren't poor, you know, but we had to work hard. Except on the Sabbath. Because on that day, he said, a man could be free.
Come, Borzinka. We're ready to begin the services.
And tomorrow? What about tomorrow?
This is tonight. And tonight we'll recite the prayers and sing the blessings.
No, Zilberman.
Come. It will do you good.
Tomorrow, on the Sabbath, you'll go to the forest and work.
There's nothing else we can do, Borzinka.
Then the prayers and the blessings are the only words?
In heaven's name, what do you expect of human beings?
Now who needs calming down, Zilberman?
The Talmud itself says that the preservation of life takes precedence even over the sanctity of the Sabbath. Borzinka, what do you want?
I don't know, Zilberman. All my life I've been afraid. I was afraid of the Polish gangs that used to invade the Jewish streets, of Hitler and the guards with whips, and now of quotas. Everything I ever did, I was forced to do by fear.
Zilberman!
Do you know what I mean, Zilberman?
Zilberman, it's time to begin.
They're calling you.
I hear them. Let them begin without me.
But the Sabbath services.
Borzinka, you're very young, and you're not especially clever. Bloom was right. Borzinka, when things are finished, settled, why can't you leave them alone? Why do you have to unsettle them?
It's getting light. Time to get up. Wake up, Borzinka.
I'm awake, Bloom.
Oh, so I see. Did you sleep at all last night? You'll learn, Borzinka. Get up.
Huh?
Time for work.
Oh, work.
You, Silverman.
I am also awake, Bloom.
You are? What have you been planning? Oh, I don't want to know. No, Silverman. Don't turn around on the other side. A whole forest of trees is waiting for you.
Not today. Today is the Sabbath.
You're out of your mind.
We've talked it over, and we've decided.
We? You and your congregation? Yes,
we decided. Right. No
work. You can't refuse to work.
That's what I thought, too, Bloom. But you see, we have refused, haven't we?
They'll beat you. They'll who knows what they'll do?
Bloom, even God, who never gets tired, rested on the seventh day. Should not we rest on the Sabbath from our weariness?
Don't give me any of your Talmudic reasoning. I'm talking about facts.
I don't mean only the weariness of work, of the forest. I mean the weariness of being afraid, of being prisoners. Bloom, here in the world of the concentration camp, we can't be free.
You're not facing the facts of this world. You're afraid. You're afraid to face reality.
The Sabbath is not only another day. It's another world. And on Sabbath, for a little while, we can feel free. Free of prison camps and guards and quotas. Bloom, is not this also reality?
Don't you understand, Zilberman? You can't do this thing. You can't do it.
Bloom, tonight we welcome the Sabbath. You heard us. Tomorrow we will not work. No matter what they do to us, we will not work.
Throw them in. There they are, your Sabbath celebrators. Take a lesson from them.
They're covered with blood. Don't stand there like donkeys. Zacharias, get some rags.
Yes, rags.
Borzinka, bring the water. Don't try to get up, gentlemen.
No words of welcome, Bloom.
They certainly did a job on you.
Here's the water, Bloom.
Good, Borzinka.
Was it very bad, Zilberman?
Don't ask foolish questions.
It was bad, Borzinka. You were right about your reality, eh, Bloom?
So I was right. You think it gives me pleasure to see you like this?
Aren't you going to ask about my reality?
Zilberman, you talk too much. Get a good rest. Tomorrow you'll need your strength.
Don't worry about the quota.
Who's talking about the quota? Well, you and your congregation were celebrating the Sabbath with the camp director and his guards, the rest of us. We also had a little discussion.
You did? About what?
Listen, Zilberman. Wasn't it Hillel who said, separate not thyself from the congregation? Maybe we're not pious Jews like you, but we're not exactly ignorant.
Ignorant? Bloom, my friend, I would call you a learned man.
Get out and get to work.
No work.
Quiet! For the last time, get to work.
This is more than you can handle, Comrade Guard. You'd better...
That's for giving me instructions.
You'd better get the director of the camp.
Stop! Y'all gone crazy? Or is this another Sabbath celebration?
You might call it a strike.
Strikes are forbidden in the Soviet Union.
Is that so? You see, it is a problem for the camp director.
This is sabotage.
If you will permit me to explain, Comrade Director...
I'll have you all shot. Every last one of you.
It's really a simple matter.
The barracks are surrounded. I'll give you 10 seconds.
Excuse me, Comrade Director. What's the harm in listening? You can always shoot us later.
There's nothing to talk about. All right, talk fast.
It would be better if we could speak more privately.
You make conditions, do you?
Oh, from your point of view, I mean.
Corporal, keep the machine guns at ready. And watch out for tricks. Speak up now.
You know what we want? 1 day of rest a week.
I make the rules in this camp.
Rules can be changed.
That's all you have to say? Now listen to me. I give you 10 seconds, then the machine guns open fire.
What kind of threat is that? We know what we are in your reckoning. We're pieces of living machinery, production units. So many trees, so many logs, so many feet of lumber. Cheap machines, given a minimum of maintenance and no repairs. When they wear out, let them lie where they fall. Yes. You can shoot us.
Maybe you think I won't do it.
Maybe you won't have to. If I'm not mistaken, you also have a quota.
That's not your business.
They count your production in Moscow, don't they? If you shoot us, a whole barracks, what happens to your production? And what will they say in Moscow?
You devil, I'd like to...
Please don't, Comrade Director. Well... That's all, Comrade Director. The rest is up to you. After all, you make the rules in this camp.
I'll work you as you've never worked before. And remember this. There's to be only one Sabbath in a week.
Shalom Aleichem.
Look at Kozinka. He's singing.
You won't join us, Blue?
Me? I've already told you, Silverman. I'm not a pious man.
Have it your way. Only it seems to me that there may be different kinds of piety.
Please. Don't twist my words again.
I was not thinking of your words. Do you remember Bloom? Hillel also said, in a place where there are no men, strive to be a man.
Shalom Aleichem, Silverman. Peace be with you.
And with you, peace.
On a Sabbath, in a dark corner of our time, Kozinka sang. It was a small thing, and we must not make too much of it. Yet it was a spark that for an instant lit the darkness, and thus it was, after all, important. For every day the world dies a little, and every day it is brought again into existence, and every instant is an act of creation.
you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Arthur Lansky, member of the National Rama Commission and a member of the Board of Directors of Rodfade Zedek Synagogue, Chicago. Mr. Lansky.
The victory of a small group of men may seem small and remote when compared with the vast Holocaust and catastrophe of the Second World War. Pozinka, Blum, Zilberman, and the others there won one small victory. Yet was it so small, they won a freedom. Freedom to keep the Sabbath holy, as written in Torah. Their accomplishment was a spark that for an instant lit the darkness, an act of creation. Yet, let us think about that victory. No instant of creation, no matter how small, should be considered insignificant. For are not all the great events in our world made up of these small sparks? Let us take two examples. A great poem may be written and later become a march of freedom. Or a man may do one small thing and find it grows into great importance. An instant may become a part of something later considered a great accomplishment. Our nation itself is a bonfire of freedom, created from many sparks. Individual groups of people who would not stand oppression banded together and formed our nation during many instants of creation. The Battle of Bunker Hill, the Declaration of Independence, and Washington's crossing the Delaware. All are single instants, but added together, those small sparks become something great. So each of us may look upon our own activities. Many of our tasks may seem small and insignificant, but if we hold to our beliefs of what is just and right, if our acts are always based on truth, then every act can be an instant creation. Every day the world dies a little, and every day it is brought again into existence, and every act is an instant of creation.
Thank you, Mr. Lansky. Our eternal light drama today, Instant of Creation, was written by Joseph Mendel and came to you from Chicago. The music was written by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Bernard Berquist. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Philip Lord, Norman Gottschalk, Maurice Copeland, Bob Barron, Everett Clark, Paul Barnes, and Marshall Kent. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Howard Keegan. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is Monitor, the NBC weekend radio service.